Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Does Dick Butkus know what he's really got himself into with Eugene? Dick Butkus likes good people.
Gene Lasker's the man. He came to my shop. Me and him met, I bring him to the show.
He doesn't know.
Spice.
Does he know how shady you are? Dick Butkus is a big time guy. You don't know anything about football.
So what?
Dick Butkus, how are you, buddy?
Good, but I don't really want to get in between you guys. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on.
I hope I haven't started something here.
The only thing you know about Lasker is he worms his way into every little situation. So now he wants to totally take credit for discovering you, which he did bring us to you. But now, like, for instance, we've only had two Hall of Fame guy ever on our show, you and Deacon Jones. We've never had anybody else. So we had a couple mini helmets and stuff for you to sign. Because
a couple?
Eight. So at the end of the day, and I even told Big Dick, have Dick personalize them so that he knows that they're for us. We're not trying to sell them or anything like that. I'll give him even names. Well, now Lasker automatically has taken dibs on the big helmet because he brought you here. I'm like, Dick, that's bullshit, Lasker. You don't even know who Dick we truly appreciate what Dick Butkus is all about.
Yeah, they were even talking about you last night during the broadcast.
Oh, they had a big old footage over Dick Butkus. And I never was familiar with the linebacker before in Chicago, the Bill guy.
Bill George, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with him.
Well, it's, you know, you're talking in the 60s, 63 championship.
50s and 60s. Did he get drafted like in 54?
Yeah. He played about 14 years before I got there, so that's 65. Yeah, he was there a long time.
Let me just show you how illiterate football-wise Gene Lasker is, Dick, okay?
I kind of got a hint because there was a ball out there with Ditka's signature on it, and he said something like,
who's my Ditka?
From Miami? Who's my Ditka?
Yeah, watch this, Dick. This is the most obvious question
wait
in the title.
No,
shut up, Gene. Just shut up for a second. Gene Lasker, who is the greatest Chicago Bear, the greatest Chicago Bear running back ever to run the ball for Chicago, and he just most recently passed away, one of the most beloved Chicago Bears ever? The most obvious question, if you know anything about football, right, Dick?
Right.
Gene Lasker?
Sanders?
Barry Sanders.
Sanders.
Dick, you can see where Dale is.
Dick. Gail Sayers.
No, not Gail Sayers.
The greatest running back of all time is Walter Payton.
Hey, listen.
Absolutely.
Listen, I always kept up with racing, you know, because it takes two balls to play that game. So you know what? I never was a football player.
I'll put Dick Butkus.
God made me little, so I want a football player.
I'll tell you this right now. You're talking about a guy having balls. I'll put Dick Butkus in his set of balls of smashing people's mouth against any race car driver ever to live. Gene, if you want to say that you need big balls to race cars, is that what you're trying to say?
Well, you do.
I know, but you don't need big balls to play middle linebacker?
Yeah.
Now you know what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, but I just didn't ever keep up with football too much. That don't make me a bad guy.
I mean, you could have been a punter or some fact
position
like that.
I always watched the Super Bowl.
Never kept up.
I was busy robbing people blind. I was being a gypsy.
So I get the bit. I bring
Dick Butkus to you guys.
I get the big helmet.
To wear in my car when I'm racing.
Yeah, you don't even know what the value of a Hall of Fame, a guy that was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You have no idea what that. Do you even know? Let me ask you a question. I'll give you, JT. Don't give him the answer to this, JT. LD, I'm sorry. Gene Lasker, I'll give you the Big Dick Butkus full size helmet if you can tell me, nobody give him the answer, where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is.
Ohio.
But where? Ooh. Where?
No, bitch, I said where it was. No, in Ohio.
Ohio's a big state.
I get the fucking helmet
on the planet Earth.
Don't bullshit me, Brett.
Where?
I said Ohio, didn't
where?
I?
It's a big state, though. Where? Where?
It's a very
Columbus.
No.
I knew it was in Ohio, man. That should be good enough.
I thought you were...
Dick, I'm all
telling me all this shit.
He fooled you. We're the football fans.
Lasker even fooled Dick Butkus.
Tell me where Dick Butkus is
talking about this big radio show.
I didn't care anything about football. When I met Dick, it was all about the
way he told me this was his show.
Exactly.
Dick Buck is going to kick your ass,
Lasker.
Now you got
him over that goddamn couch over there.
He's not even allowed at the round table.
He's barely allowed there.
Oh, why don't you get on the round table and snatch somebody off of there? No, don't even go there.
Now, Gene, tell me where... What college Dick Butkus played at?
Well, how the hell do I know?
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, if you're a fan of football, then you know where the big players are.
I'm not a fan of football.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
I just watch it once in a while.
Oh, this is how stupid he is, Dick. Ready? They're the Fighting Illini.
Okay, man.
Do they have a racing team?
No, yeah. They don't have.
If it was a racing Illini, I'd know it.
Okay, Gene. They're in Champaign, Urbana.
And Ron Zook is their head coach.
And they're Fighting Illini.
Good for the pains.
Abraham Lincoln was from there.
Abraham Lincoln was from the state. Do you know who Abraham Lincoln? Do you know what state that would be?
Yeah, he was a dumbass.
Well, okay. Well, what would that be? Dick's like, God, I know this guy's really a weirdo. What did I get myself into?
Right. Hey, he sounded all right on the phone.
Yeah.
I should have thought of something when I came
in
here.
You should have Googled the son of a bitch.
You guys were on, you know. Yeah, he was walking around, so I said, wait a minute. Yeah. I thought this guy's running the show. He's walking around in the parking lot. Some Jeep. I saw his big ass sticking out the door. He's reaching for, looking for something.
I was pulling out some belly pants for Bubba's quarter midget.
Now, Dick, did you do... Nitschke always did the Packer report. Did you do, or was that Doug Buffone? That was Doug Buffone.
Yeah, Buffone.
Buffone. He did the Bear report.
Right.
And I think the internet's pretty much taken all that. I don't think people really subscribe to that stuff anymore because you can get all that stuff over the internet now. Yeah. But boy, back in the, when I was growing up in Indiana, I was a big Packer fan. And I subscribed
from Indiana.
And we can only get the Bear. I was from Warsaw, Indiana, up by South Bend. And Bear, and Channel 22 is where the Bears. So we didn't have satellite TV. So my dad used to have to rig up WTMJ out of Milwaukee, 620. My dad would get up on the roof and try to get my... the radio going, so we'd listen to the Packer games on radio, and then we'd go up to Soldier Field and catch a Bear Packer game every year, like in the towards your latter part of your career, like 69, 70, and 71. I saw you guys, which you guys smashed. It was usually about even. Yeah. Let me see. Dan Devine. Dan Devine was the coach for the Packers, and that's where I got to be familiar with Bobby Douglas, because Bobby Douglas, I think, was the quarterback then.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby.
Remember the play? Remember the play with Chester Markle? And it was in Soldier Field. I think you were already gone. And Chester Markle was about, he ended up being an alcoholic. He was a field goal kicker for the Packers. And it's the one where they kicked it and it smashed into a Bears helmet and it came back to Chester Markle and he flipped it around the side and scored a touchdown. Do you remember that play?
Yeah, it was after me.
I think it was after you. I think it was like 75, 76. Yeah. And then the other infamous Packer play was the infamous Don Majkowski across the line of scrimmage. And in fact, the Bears, Brent, to this day, if you go back and look at the program, it's called the Asterisk Game because they lost that game when Majkowski threw the ball past the line of scrimmage and the Packers end up scoring. That's an infamous Asterisk Game.
Yeah.
And then I was a DJ in Chicago at B96 and Z95 WLS in 89, and I was a Packer fan living in Chicago. I lived at McClurg Court, State and Lake down there. Uh-huh. And I'd get on the air and say, yeah, you know, the Packers kick ass, Bears suck.
You must have been popular.
Well, I would go to Dick's restaurant and stuff, and people would want to beat the shit out of me. Like, look at that fat-ass DJ wearing that Packer stuff. I didn't know that they were really that crazy. And
yeah, they are. They are. You know, I was down there. I didn't go to the game, but you know, all accounts was about 4-5 to 1 Chicago people.
They said that on TV that it was 4-5 to 1 Chicago people.
Yeah, you could hear it in the crowd.
Now you got to be like a god when you roll around the streets of Chicago.
Oh, he is.
I mean, everywhere you go, are people freaking out?
No, they don't really freak out that bad.
That bad.
No.
Now, Dick, you've made some movies though, because I remember like in the. Right when you got out of football, you made like a handful of movies, didn't you?
Well, I did a lot of commercials, you know, the Miller Lite stuff with Bubba, and then that led to a couple, you know, bit parts. And so I thought, well, you know, an agent came up to me and He says, you know what? I think I can get you some work. You know, and I said, well, what do I have to do? And he says, well, come on out here like in January during pilot season and we'll see what happens. And I said, well, all right, I'll give it a couple months and see what happens. And that was 25 years ago. So I just went from one thing
to
another.
You were Necessary Roughness, Any Given Sunday?
Yeah.
Good. I liked Any Given Sunday.
I did too.
Did you enjoy doing that film?
You know what? Now, this is how I had an agent, right? And I was doing this show called Hang Time at the time. Mm-hmm. And I see in the trades this movie, Oliver Stone's going to direct it, you know, Any Given Sunday. And it's about football. So I call my agent. I says, hey, can you check this out? You know, duh, I might be able to find a part, you know, like playing myself or something, which usually happens. So I wait about, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks. And I call him. I says, hey, what's with that movie? And he says, there's nothing in there for you. Okay. Oh, okay. So this one lady friend out there I know, she says, why don't you just call up Oliver? And I says, get out. You don't do that.
Do you know Oliver?
No.
Okay.
But he's Dick Butkus, man. Right. I mean, you know,
well,
shit.
That's what she was saying.
Yeah.
She says, do you think he will not take your call?
If he's a guy that's gonna knows anything about football, anybody get a call from Dick Butkus, you got to take that call.
Absolutely. Right. So I called because I heard a lot of things about him as a director. You know, it's just like George Allen. Everybody had their different thoughts about George Allen, but I really like George Allen because he was a thorough coach and really into it.
Right.
And I was into it. So, okay. That's sort of the thing that Oliver has, too. He's really into what he's doing and, you know, whether people like what he, you know, produces or whatever. So I called down to Miami, and lo and behold, he said, yeah, you know. So, he said, hey, the guy says, hey, he's still writing a part, and I think he'll use you, you know. So I says, great. So he calls back, and they're giving me all these dates, and I'm saying, well, I'm on hiatus right now, and the dates you're giving me, I can't do that because I'm going to be busy doing my other show. So it's like I'm calling the guy for a job.
But tell him you're busy.
I'm too busy.
I'm calling one of the biggest producers of all time, saying, hey, fuck, it's a little busy right now, buddy.
Hey, Oliver, I'd love to do it, but I got this thing.
You know, hey.
So then they picked a date, and I went down there, and they put me up in Key Biscayne there, South Beach, wherever, and I'm a couple, 3 days, nothing. I'm just walking around. And then he calls, and okay, we're going to go first whatever day at the stadium. And I says, you know something, I don't want to be a real jerk about this, but I don't have a script. And they said, don't worry about it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so we go out there, and he's all right, go over here, and here's the situation. The referee just made a bad call. You're the coach over here. What would you say?
So he's had your freestyle.
Came from the hard, Dick, because you probably would be pissed off.
Well, I did. And then we did it a couple times. He cracked up, and then he says, okay, now give me a TV version, and that was it. That was how we did it.
See, that was an interesting movie to me because, from what I gather, the NFL didn't bless that film at all. They wanted nothing to do with it. But how close was that movie to the behind the scenes in the NFL?
Pretty close.
Pretty good
close.
Stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of politicking involved in that movie.
Oh. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, what's that other one? Dallas North 40.
Dallas 40, yeah.
That was kind of like
that's Hollywood
over the
shit,
edge,
yeah.
You know, but.
Any Given Sunday was pretty.
It was. It was. And
that's why the NFL was so mad about it, Dick, because it was pretty damn close.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you don't really realize all the politicking until you see that movie and you go, wow, I guess that does kind of make sense. You
now,
know?
Dick, is there more politicking in today's environment than there was? I mean, like around your environment, I mean, there. Your performance really, I mean, it's old school shit. I mean, you know, and you don't have to worry about not blasting the quarterback in the head, and you could, you know, tear a guy's face mask off.
Well, that the politic about that is, you know, is just there's a lot more rules now, and people say, well, you know, the quarterback is, you know, pansy and you can't hurt him anymore. And the question would be, okay, yesterday, let's say Peyton Manning got hurt in the game before, in the championship game.
With his thumb.
Yeah. Let's say that knocked them out for the Super Bowl. Now, do you think that would have been a big, helpful to the fans and to the league to have Peyton Manning out?
And you got Jim Sorgi playing quarterback?
Is that who he was? Because I couldn't tell you.
So the league may have been a little bit shady about letting that info out and maybe kept him on the active list because of ratings and money and commercial spots.
And then just straight up, that's why they have, you know, they try to do the best they can to protect a quarterback. Right. That's your marquee guy, whether you like it or not. That's, you know, he's the marquee guy.
Dick Butkus in the studio. He's here. for several reasons. One, because Lasker lied to him and told him that this is a big time show, so we got him drug into here. And he's only the second Hall of Fame guy we ever had. We had Deacon Jones in here one time.
He wasn't funny, huh?
His hands are.
He was funny. You know, he said, Dick. He goes, man, I don't like the new rules. I used to like to take my big ass hand and slap the shit out of them linemen. That's what he said. He goes, man, look at this hand. And he goes, look at his hand. That's a weapon. Yeah. And I used to just head slap the shit out of those guys.
Taking a bitch slap from that guy's got
him. Oh, God.
And he was in here going, man, I used to whoop somebody's butt, man.
You know, I
can't head slap anymore now, can you, Dick?
No,
you can't do that.
No.
What was one of your counted
every sack he ever had.
And he had more than Reggie.
Yeah. Yeah. That was before they started
supposedly
keeping the stat.
Yeah. He's pissed about that, too. He's still fighting that battle. He's like, let me tell you something. Nothing against Reggie White, but I had about 15 more sacks than he did.
Shit.
And he said, he also got screwed on a whole bunch of money because now, you know, what these players, some of their big-time incentive is sacks. You know, you'll get X amount that many more millions of dollars or whatever based on if you get 10 sacks, 15, lead the league, you know, whatever. And he's like, you know, there wasn't even such a thing when he was playing, you know, bonuses based on sacks.
I'm talking to this guy this weekend, and, you know, I thought I was kind of up on things about, you know, the players nowadays. You know, I knew they got paid to work out in the offseason.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
He said I don't know if it was, well, he played on the Dolphins, but he said, you know, they make you deals like 50,000. If you have trouble with your weight during the year, they will pay you like 50,000 to stay at your playing weight.
Some
of these guys go, F.
Shouldn't you want to do that anyways, being a professional athlete?
Can you imagine coming to training camp, Dick, for Papa, for Hallis, 20 pounds over what you're supposed to be, and the kind of ass chewing you would take, and then subsequently if Papa would have given you like 15 or 20 grand to come in at your playing, that would never happen in a million years.
I know. Let's see, that's...
So are you saying the league in general, are they coddling these players entirely too much?
I mean, that's you know, they're trying to get them to work out all year long, you know, which a lot of them do, but do you have to be paid to do that?
Right.
I mean, this is your livelihood.
This is your job, yeah.
They got if you make the roster, final day bonuses now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on the roster June 1, you get like a couple hundred grand,
and then I think I thought it was 10,000 a year severance. So this is to allow you to get back like a normal life, you know, because you might make
to adjust.
Well, doesn't OJ make? Doesn't OJ make
back to normal life?
Doesn't OJ make $25,000 a month pension?
That's
his pension.
One of his things.
Now, Dick, you're vested. You get pension, don't you?
Yeah,
from the league.
Yeah, that's the latest beef right now. I don't know. You go down to Miami with the Super Bowl, and you just see. You go into this hotel where, you know, maybe a lot of the players, alumni are, and there's 30 Cadillac SUVs with Super Bowl car, official car. You know, the NFL properties, I'm talking maybe 4, 5, 8 years ago, they clear about $4 billion, which the teams by 30 divide. That's what they get for a little pocket change.
For trinket shit.
Okay, now... you have guys from the Hall of Fame, and Ditka brought this up, and Harry Carson, who are from the 40s, maybe 50s, up in age, no pension, you know, maybe a little touch of dementia, you know, or whatever, no health insurance. And the league and the current players and everybody, geez, we can't help them.
They turn their back on you.
Yeah, and you know who's the most bitter about that, and I agree with him, is Chuck Bednarik. Because he played, you know, he played both ways for the Eagles, and he's really, you know, he's got some serious health issues, and the NFL doesn't help him at all, or the Eagles don't help him at all.
Now, Dick, what year did they start? Like, what year did you have to play by to get into the pension system?
Well, I remember something about pre-59ers, which meant people
from 60 on
were eligible, and then they backtracked it a little bit.
Is a pension, Dick, based on how much you made or based on how long you played?
How many you played and how much was in the kitty.
Right.
I mean, I know a guy who's maybe 3 years earlier than me. It's $420 he gets a month.
You're kidding me.
But see, each
and
year,
the NFL brand is just
each year it gets bigger and bigger. More. Right. But of course, now, the guys who play today, like, you think Peyton Manning's worried about his pension?
Yeah, no. The pension's just pocket change to him.
But like a guy, now how many years? Is it 5 years to be vested?
It used to be 4.5, but the average guy only played like 4.
Oh, okay.
So the average player was never eligible
for pension.
Couldn't play long enough.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was gonna touch on XFL a little bit. Now, you loosely got involved with that. Yep. Did you want to see the XFL succeed to maybe rival the NFL? Because it seems to me, you know, the NFL, like you're saying, they got a little too high on their horse now. And you know, were you involved?
It would never. You know, you never could rival.
Never.
It seems to me the media. The media actually killed the XFL before it even got started.
It was NBC.
They joked it.
But what did you think about it in general?
I thought it was kind of it was good, only because of the players and the coaches that were allowed to get back in the game. Let's just say you're a frustrated, like,
for the passion
girl. Looks like he could be
field goal kicker,
a frustrated driver, right?
Right. Okay.
There he is.
Right.
Definitely.
And he can't get on.
Driver maybe hasn't won a few
circuits, but he can. There's another little circuit he could get on.
Another little circuit
and get his rocks off doing that or whatever.
Right.
And if it's done right, and it's fine. What's wrong with that? XFL was not going to, you know, start stealing players from the XFL or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How about indoor league, Dick? I mean, again,
like, this is what I heard Vince was his plan was. When he announced this, he made the announcement, we're going to start this XFL, and it was going to start in 2 years, and this is going to be on TNN and UPN or whatever. Mm-hmm. Dick Ebersol, who did some things with Vince, saw the press conference and calls him up and says, Vince, before you do anything, let me talk to you. So they got together and they talked, and NBC says, hey, look, I'll take half the action. Okay, good. We'll start it in 2 years. Well, no, that's the kicker. We got to start it this year because next year we're going to have problems with the Winter Olympics.
Right.
So what happened, Vince had to put a league together in a matter of 7 or 8 months.
Rather than a year and a half.
Right.
Where he could have really.
That's what he originally wanted to do. He wanted to do it like the Arena League.
Right.
You know, the Arena League, you can, you know, they can get arrested. Nobody knows about it.
Right. Right.
You know how many years they've been in business?
Oh. Almost 20, isn't it?
Yes.
Almost 20 years.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, they went ahead. And what gets me, what grinds me about it, I mean, there are some things, but the Skycam.
Mm-hmm.
They ridiculed it. They made fun of it on Monday night.
And now it's the hottest thing
going. Who was the comedian they had?
Dennis Miller.
Oh, that piece. You know, what is it? And then now it's the Sky King.
Yeah. Sponsored by, you know, Texas Instruments HDTV.
Yeah.
They sponsor that damn thing. They probably get a couple $1 million to say it's the, you know, Texas Instrument HD McGillicuddy Sky Cam.
Yeah, I like the XFL. Well, it's a shame for
you. You know, Vince is a big football fan, and he just sat there and thought, you know, the rule would be what I think would make the game better. That's
I love that coin toss idea. That was awesome.
Oh, no, was kick ass.
Yeah, that's guys, that was the best part
that
about
was.
It. I think Vince scared everybody away the first game when he went, this is the XFL!
Let me do some commercials.
He's a roofer!
I got a ton of questions for Dick Butkus. We'll have him to the top of the hour. And I bet you there's a ton of Chicago Bear fans out there that would like to ask Dick some questions. Dick, can we take some phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Chicago Bear fans, NFL fans. I mean, Brent,
if you're a fan of great
football,
football and great defense, then you're a fan of Dick
Butkus. When defense used to mean something,
yeah,
and they didn't protect the quarterback and throw, and there used to be games like they were 7-10.
I love teams that play good team defense, man.
Dick, I always want to ask you, what did you ever think about Alex Karras? Was he good?
Yeah, he was very good.
He was a
tough guy, you know. And
played for Michigan State, didn't he?
Iowa. He went to Iowa, I believe.
Iowa.
And, you know, and there was a guy, as soon as his career, he was even thinking about getting into Hollywood right from the get-go.
Right.
And he's been, you know, he was pretty successful with Webster and all these other shows. And
did Bubba Smith, did he play for the Lions too?
No, Bubba played for the Colts.
For the
Baltimore
Colts.
Yep. Michigan State,
that's right. I remember, wasn't the big undefeated game, Michigan State and Notre Dame played
right.
a tie or something
and,
that year?
Yeah, Arcegian went for the tie, and wasn't it? I think they went for the tie, and everybody.
Was IU very good when you were in
Iowa?
You were...
We never played against. You know, in the Big Ten, you only played like 8 teams. So in my 3 years of varsity there, we did not play Indiana or Iowa.
Really?
Yeah.
Northwestern?
Northwestern.
You probably love that on your schedule because they sucked back then, didn't they?
They had a young guy named Tommy Myers. They were pretty good, actually, for one of those 3 years. In fact, that's when Parsegian was there, and then he went from there to Notre Dame.
And they so, all. How about our, Michigan? Who were the studs on Michigan when you played for
Michigan? Was well, they had Bob Timberlake and, oh, I don't know who the hell else they had. I think the Rose Bowl teams during that era, I think, remember Vander Kellen from Washington? They played Southern Cal and scored 1,000 points or whatever between them. Then we went our junior year. We beat Washington, and then I forget who was after us, Michigan State or somebody.
Now, Dick, who was your coach in
My
college?
My coach was Pete Elliott. Nice guy. His brother was the coach at Michigan. Pete, after that, he eventually ended up as the executive director of the Hall of Fame. In fact, he was the guy who gave I had him be my presenter because Hallis had some, I don't know, phlebitis or something. He couldn't make it, so then Pete was the
presenter.
Presented, yeah.
Any other guys that played college ball with you that went on to go to pros at Illinois?
At Illinois? Yeah, there was a guy, George Donnelly. He played over with the 49ers as a safety. Greg Schumacher, I think he played a little bit with the Rams.
Right. Are you and Nitschke the only two Illini in the Hall of Fame?
No, I think, well, we're going back a little bit. Red Grange.
He was Illini?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was from Illinois, wasn't he?
Right.
Now,
yeah,
coming out of Wheaton.
Yeah,
Wheaton,
that's right.
Coming out of college, was there ever a question on where you were going to play for pro football?
Well, yeah, I remember that story you talked about how he almost went to Denver.
Yeah, it was...
Or during your years at Chicago, did you ever want out of there? Did you ever... Was there any a point in time where you're like, change of scenery?
You know what? We would kid around because, you know, you're playing for Hallis and the things... You know, you just couldn't really do a lot of things like you could on other teams.
And there wasn't there wasn't restricted free agency or any of that shit
right.
anymore,
and
Dick,
we
was
would
there?
Just say, look, you know, with this new league now, just think we could be in Miami on the beach. Right. Shit like that. Right. You know,
San Diego.
We're in Rensselaer, Indiana at training camp, and it's so hot and humid you could hear the corn grow.
With Hallis just yelling at you.
Right.
What's the maddest he ever got at you, Dick? Papa Bear. What's the maddest he ever flipped out on you?
Oh, when I told him he didn't want to win there, it was after the season, and I think it was when Jim Dooley was first year as a coach, and I don't know if we went 1-13 and went in there at his office after the season and to pick up the mail and stuff, and I got to talk to him a little bit, and I says, you know, Coach, I really don't think you want to win, and he stands up, you know, and what did you say? And I said, well, you know, look at our record, look who you got in there, you know, I don't think you really want to win.
Did he intimidate you at all when he stood up and did that?
Yeah, as a 75, he must have been 75 then. But.
he was a rascally old fart, what he did.
Yeah, you know, but it's just like anything else, you know, everybody jagged him. Like Ditka always made the famous statement, you know, he threw nickels around like manhole covers right. and stuff like that. But the old guy, he helped out a lot of old timers.
Are you and Dick close?
Yeah, fairly. I don't see him all that often. I don't live in Chicago, and he's there mostly in the summer and early, I guess, during the football season.
Right.
Like now, he'll probably be down in Naples.
Something I was going to ask you about Dick Kid now. Oh, what do you think about Singletary getting some coaching? I mean, you know, he's a middle linebacker coach for San Fran, and he's there's some rumors that he.
Dallas is looking at
talking to Dallas. Yeah, well, I heard over the weekend in Miami an interview with him, and someone said that he was like the linebacker coach, and he promptly corrected him and says, "No, I'm an assistant head coach," because the guy was questioning whether are you really, you know,
right, a position ready? Coach compared to an assistant, right?
Right, and are you ready to be a head coach?
Well, right.
Well, there's an assistant head coach that was a quarterback's coach for the Cowboys that went to the Saints and was pretty damn successful, yeah. Sean Payton.
Yeah. So,
now, is Singletary pretty sharp, Dick? Is Singletary pretty sharp?
I guess. I mean, I would think, I was surprised that he was out of football for a while, then he went back into it, and, you know, he went with Baltimore first, and then he ended up with San Francisco. But I think he probably can do his thing because it's a different brand of kid,
right.
Different brand of players.
What do you think about, speaking of Baltimore, what do you think about the Ray Lewis kid?
He was good. It's just I think what happens when you get to that stage where eighth, ninth year, you got to be careful of injuries and that kind of slows you down a little bit. It's interesting. you know, for the Butkus Award, the three finalists one year were Ray Lewis, Zach Thomas,
wow,
and Kevin Hardy from Illinois.
Wow.
And Kevin won.
Yep.
And I saw that Zach Thomas, and I'm saying, geez, the guy, I don't know if he can make, I mean, he doesn't look very big. And, geez, he had a terrific career. Now, of course, Ray has, too.
The kid that won this year, Patrick Willis, is a hell of a linebacker.
I guess. You know, I saw, see, I had nothing to do with, you know, the actual balloting and all that, but I watched, you know, that NFL channel and right. I guess that practice at the North South where they, you know, he was, Jesus, he was knocking
against,
the hell out of it.
I saw against LSU, they were on, it was like third and one from the goal, from in, you know, at the 1 yard line. And it was last year, Joseph Addai came running through the hole and Patrick Willis laid him out. I mean, laid him out.
Dick, what were the official years?
65
to 73, I think.
Right.
65 to 73, University of Illinois. End up playing his entire career with the Chicago Bears. Anybody that knows anything about football knows that the 51, the monster in the middle, would kick your ass.
He would kick your ass. You watch those highlight films, you can see people getting their head taken off. Would,
I saw one time Dick had a face mask in his hand and threw it down like he wasn't going to get in trouble.
That's crazy.
1-888-69 Bubba, 10 minutes left. And I'd like to dedicate this time to the people who like to ask Dick Butkus fans. We're going to be fairly quick about this. Hello, go ahead. You're on Dick Butkus.
Dick, do you listen to Sirius? Do you ever listen to Howard at all?
Howard Stern?
Yes, Howard Stern.
Yeah, I listened to him for a while. I forget what year I was on his show. It was the funniest damn thing he did. He did a skit with, who's that character, with the Moose?
The Moose. Captain Kangaroo?
Bullwinkle?
Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle?
Yeah, he had the lady who did all the voices of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I played a part, and I tell you what, I was shitting my pants. I mean, I could not get through the skit with him. Yeah. Yeah, good guy.
Oh, by the way, here's Deacon Jones. I had six cuts. I'm not going to have a chance to get through any of them. I want to see what Deacon Jones says about Butkus. Let me see what Deacon says.
He was an animal, and he was a well-conditioned animal, and every time he hit you, he tried to put you in the cemetery. Not the hospital.
He tried to put you in the
cemetery, not the hospital.
What's your great, now, man. Dick? I know you got to remember. What's your single, either the biggest highlight clip that everybody plays, or maybe one that they forgot? Your single greatest hardest hit that you think you smashed somebody?
Well, just of late, you know, Charlie Sanders has just got in the Hall of Fame. He was a tight end with Detroit, and I got a pretty good look at him one time because it was, you know, the ball was thrown over his head, and I think Rosie Taylor, one of our guys, intercepted it, and I was kind of peeling back, and I got a hold of Charlie pretty good. He kind of laughs about it.
Now, Dick, you were one of those middle linebackers. As soon as there was interception, you'd go take the quarterback's head off, wouldn't you?
Well,
that was
if
you.
If he's around.
Yeah, I mean, you would be the free, be like, hey, he's open season. I got to get a block on this guy like I do the next guy.
You know, I used to be the guy right in the middle on the front row on the kickoff returns.
Oh, yeah.
And Abe Gibran was coaching at the time. And my job was, as soon as that kicker kicked the ball, is to go knock his ass off.
Go take him out. And he would think twice about kicking it again, wouldn't he?
Exactly.
Like, I got that fucking 51 that's going to come across here and blast my head off. And they had those real fag bars back in the day, too. Yeah. So you could give him a big chop lick, couldn't you, Dick?
The best was on the punt return, when I was on the punt return, you know, because I was a snapper on punts. And
right, long snapper.
I know you got your head down. And
oh, yeah, they could blast
and
you.
And I'd just sneak around and take about a 5-yard run and run right into them, you know, as soon as you snap the ball. Wow, your head comes up and then
bam, bam.
Dick, could you still long snap one? You think you've had to?
Oh yeah,
that's an art, boy. The guy's staying in the league 20 years doing that.
Right
now.
After a while, you know, I start doing that to other people. I'm thinking, wait a minute, they're going to see the film. They're going to be doing that to me. And somebody stepped on my finger and broke my finger, so I got out of snapping. That was the last time.
A lot of those guys can really secure their livelihood in the league for years. That's a specialized position now, isn't it?
They make about 265, is it?
Yeah. That's league minimum, 268, I think.
Yeah. Plus, they're just looking to hang around and get that pension higher, too.
Yeah, exactly. Dick Butkus in the studio today. What a great guy, man.